Bom dia, boa tarde, boa noite. Esse é o Perspectiva Tupiniquim. Aqui quem tá falando é Matheus Torquato, diretamente do Reino Unido. E hoje temos um episódio muitíssimo especial, correto, Gabriel?
É isso mesmo, sejam todos muito bem-vindos. Eu sou o Gabriel Bartolazzi, falo diretamente de Canberra, na Austrália. E o episódio de hoje é de fato especial. Certo, Matheus?
Exatamente. E ele é especial porque hoje vai ser o nosso primeiro episódio em inglês. Então, como a gente prometeu lá no comecinho, nós vamos ter convidados brasileiros e convidados internacionais que não falam português, falam somente inglês. Então, esse é o nosso primeiro convidado internacional, o nosso amigo Casey. E por isso, esse episódio vai ser em inglês.
É isso aí. Exatamente, esse episódio será em inglês e pensando um pouco no futuro do nosso podcast, nós decidimos criar um outro canal onde postaremos exclusivamente episódios em inglês, nesse formato do episódio de hoje. Então, se você quiser continuar ouvindo os nossos episódios em inglês, segue a gente também no nosso outro canal que se chama Foreign Perspectives.
Como é, Gabriel?
Foreign Perspectives.
Gostei, Foreign Perspectives. Então, como é que escreve isso, Gabriel? Onde é que acha esse episódio? Onde é que a gente vai estar? Como é que faz para acessar ele?
Então, para você encontrar o nome do canal bonitinho, segue a gente no Instagram, @perspectivatupiniquim, que vai ter lá um post com o nome do nosso novo canal.
Exatamente, mas a gente tá, assim como o Perspectiva Tupiniquim, a gente vai estar em todas as plataformas agregadoras de podcast, correto, Gabriel?
É isso
aí. Então a gente tá no Apple Podcast, no Spotify, no Google. Se você for lá e quiser se aventurar a procurar a gente pelo Foreign Perspectives, no plural, que em português quer dizer perspectivas estrangeiras, você vai encontrar lá o podcast que já está no ar.
É isso aí, fiquem ligados no outro canal também e espero que curtam o episódio de hoje.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Perspectiva Tupiniquim. My name is Matheus Torquato and I'm speaking directly from Wales in the United Kingdom.
Hi, I am Gabriel Bartolazzi and I'm talking from Australia.
It's a great pleasure to have you here. Welcome to the very first episode of our podcast where we're gonna talk about life overseas, abroad, away from our home country.
Yes, that is right. Welcome, guys. And we are here today with a special guest. Right, Casey? Say hello to our listeners.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Casey. Nice to have you here. Thank you for accepting our invitation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Even before you introduce yourself, we have a challenge for you. So every international guest in the show, we have an initial challenge. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. But just before we go with the challenge, just letting you know, Casey, that you need to do well in the challenge, all right? Otherwise, we cancel this episode.
Yeah, so based...
No pressure, coach. No pressure.
based on your performance on this set challenge, we will be able to proceed with the recording or not, right? So no pressure, but we need to nail it.
Okay.
What is the challenge, Matheus?
The challenge is you need to pronounce the name of our podcast in Portuguese, which is, of course, I'm not gonna say it.
Oh, fuck.
But have you written it?
Can you write it for me? I don't have it written.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Gabriel. Okay, I'm send him in the chat.
I'll send him in the chat. Yeah, that's all right. Can you see it, Casey?
Oh, my God. Perspectiva Tupiniquim.
Very good, very good first attempt. Okay, we can give you one more chance just to try to...
Gabriel, from 0 to 10, give him a mark.
Alright, I'll give him a 7. Yeah, it was good, it was quite good.
Okay, yeah, I think that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Do you want to try one more time? We're good.
Try one more time, Casey.
Perspectiva Tupiniquim.
Yeah, that time was a solid 8.5.
8.5, yeah, that was very good.
Okay, all right, awesome.
All right, okay, so now we can continue.
Okay, well done. You are approved and you are allowed to record with us now.
Okay, whew. Okay, I've got my boarding pass, fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, fantastic.
So, first thing first, Casey, please introduce yourself properly. Say your name, where you're from, where do you live, what do you do?
Yep.
And a bit more about your international experiences.
Okay. Sure. So my name's Casey. I'm coming from. Well, I'm living in Canberra, in Australia. So this is where I've lived since I was little. As far as international experience, I've lived overseas for a few years, particularly in Latin America. But I've also done a little bit of traveling through Europe. And I'm an English as a foreign language teacher, guys, so no pressure. Mm. But I'll be watching and I'll be listening.
Why would make that challenge with him?
Don't be hard on us just because of the challenge, right?
And Casey, so you've mentioned that you've been like in quite a lot of places, I guess. And was it like a backpack experience you had?
So I guess it's been different a few times. So I did do some traveling in 2010, just the normal. I spent sort of 5 or 6 months in North America, just sort of traveling around with one of my high school friends. That was good. I went and did a student exchange in Canada as part of my bachelor degree. And I think that's kind of something that sort of started me doing a bit more traveling outside of English-speaking countries and getting out in a few different sort of places. Mm. So I did a student exchange at Brock University in Canada near Toronto, and there were so many Brazilians there, guys. You have no idea. It's like every second person was Brazilian, which was fantastic. It's always a good thing. I had lots of friends there, and we did a few little trips around Canada. We also went to Cuba for a holiday, but I guess that was a lot of my experiences. And I also lived in Latin America, so primarily in Colombia, but I also spent a bit of time in Bolivia, and I traveled through, you know, down south through Argentina, Brazil, and in Central America and Mexico and stuff. But yeah, I lived in Colombia mostly.
So apparently you know South America better than me and Gabriel together.
Definitely.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure Gabriel probably knows Australia better than me. I think he knows this area better than I do.
Okay, Casey, so how long did you live in Canada, in Toronto, and how long did you live in Colombia?
Okay, so I think Canada was about 6 months, more or less, about half a year. And in Colombia, it was about a bit over 2 years, I suppose. So it was...
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, it was a little while. So I went to a few countries first. So I went to Bolivia first. After I finished my degree, I went to Bolivia. I really wanted to learn... Oh, actually, no, I went to Europe for a while, but then I went to Bolivia. I really wanted to learn to speak Spanish. All my friends in Canada, they all spoke at least two languages, and I was the only idiot that spoke one, you know? So everyone's talking to me in a second language.
So Canada was kind of like what triggered you into like learning a new language and also maybe traveling South America, you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. I actually wanted to learn Brazilian Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, I knew lots of Brazilians there and lots of really nice people.
They're also friendly,
and
right?
I love... What's that?
And they're also friendly.
Yes, very, very friendly. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love Brazilians as well.
Not being biased.
Yeah, you like Brazilians too? Well, that's good. I think you've got the right passport then. Yeah.
No bias involved.
Yeah, I'm shocked, Matheus. But yeah, I love the sound of Brazilian Portuguese too, so I wanted to learn that for a little while. And I eventually started learning Spanish because I wasn't sure where I wanted to go, but I knew I could go to lots of different countries if I learned Spanish. I learned to speak Spanish, and I went to Bolivia to sort of live with a family and immerse myself and make sure I couldn't speak English. And then I traveled around and I ended up getting a job in Colombia. And yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Quite a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm. That's nice to see. It's nice to see how traveling and going out of your bubble, out of Australia, it opened kind of your mind because you started trying to learn different language and you started enjoying living abroad. So we kind of relate, me and Gabriel, with the same experience, right, Gabriel?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, living abroad, it definitely opened up my mind a lot. Especially like you, I think you realize that the world is not like that small. It's not only like your country, your state, your city. And it's not that hard to travel abroad, to live in other countries if you really want to. So I guess you open a lot of my mind. And Casey, so you, before you went there to Latin America, so I guess you decided to go there because you have met a lot of Brazilians and maybe also like other Latin people in Canada, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's what made you decide to go back there.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think a lot of the people that I knew, because I went to Canada, I was like, okay, great. I'll get drunk and I'll go to parties and I'll meet lots of Canadians. And that happened, but everyone was like Brazilian, man. Like, not quite, but there were.
But so you got drunk with the Brazilians, I guess.
Look, not only Brazilians. I mean, I had a lot of good friends. I had some very good friends from Germany, from Finland, from Austria, from Nicaragua. But there were lots of Brazilians, man. I can't believe how many Brazilians there were. But Latin America for me was just this giant place that I knew existed, but I had no interest in it. And I think just spending a lot of time with people from there, it just sort of was like, okay, well, this is a place that, you know, I'm kind of interested in. And so I thought, I like the languages. I can't speak Portuguese, unfortunately, but I love the sound of Brazilian Portuguese.
Yet.
Yes, I will learn. I bought a book about Portuguese. I'll read and I'll practice, but, I like Latin American Spanish as well, so it all kind of fit, you know. It was a good place to go and learn and explore, I think.
I see. So, Casey, that's quite a big change because you are from Australia and then you lived in Colombia, which is pretty much on the other side of the planet.
I couldn't get much further away if I tried. Like, it was
quite on the edge.
Yeah,
The language is completely different. The culture, I assume, is quite different as well. So I would say many aspects were quite new for you. So is there anything that kind of shocked you when you firstly arrived at South America and Colombia?
Yeah.
Is there any culture points that you're like, whoa?
Yeah.
Is that like real?
Yeah. I mean, well, when I first arrived in Bolivia. And I was walking around and I just had this idea, you know, I hadn't really thought about it too much. I was like, oh, I'll just go to Bolivia and I'll find a Spanish school and, you know, it'll be great. And so I got there completely on my own. I didn't know anyone there. I didn't go with anyone. So I just rocked up.
And you didn't speak the language as well?
Oh, I did, but not very well.
Just the basics.
And I wasn't confident. Yeah, I had the basics and I probably understood much more than I could say, which is, you know, quite common. You got good receptive skills, but your productive skills aren't there. And I remember walking around and I was, first thing I realized when I got in the taxi in Bolivia is that, road rules are just optional. Well, no, road rules are optional, man. Like it's like a guideline. It's not a rule. It's like a suggestion, you know, you should stop at red lights. And it was all a little bit crazy. And I remember I was walking around the streets and I was like, okay, I'm just going to find like, this is Spanish architecture, right? So I'll find like a plaza. I'll find a square, a little park. So I'm walking around and I walk to find this plaza. And then I feel something kind of brush up against the back of my arm. And I'm like, oh man, I'm being robbed already. That was quick.
Quicker than you expected.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was, so I looked up and something grabbed my hand and I kid you not, it's a zebra.
What?
What?
It's a zebra. Yeah. So it's a girl or a boy, I guess, in a zebra onesie that the Bolivian government pays to educate people about road safety, so they grab your hand and they walk you across. And this is my first 20 minutes in Latin America, and I was just like, oh man, I have to sit down. I don't know what the hell is happening.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah, what I was like, what am I doing? How did I get here?
And Casey, how old were you at the time?
Oh, good question. I think I was probably maybe 22.
Okay.
It was right after college, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't wait long.
Well, yeah, it was quite a first impression, I guess.
Yeah. Oh man, it was crazy.
Did you learn how to cross?
Yeah. Just wait for the zebra to grab you and then go with it. Go with the flow.
Amazing.
That's what you do in Brazil, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, but in Brazil it's not a zebra, it's a different animal, but that's all right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, tomato.
And Casey, so, I mean, you had this like, first impression there, and was there anything else that like really caught your attention in terms of like culture that you can remember now?
Yeah. In Bolivia or Latin America generally?
In Latin America in general, yeah.
Latin America generally, I think, absolutely. I think it's a very common understanding when you start to meet Latin American people and you start making plans and things is that somehow when you cross the oceans on the aeroplane, the concept of time changes. And so when you're in Latin America, I mean, 6 o'clock is 8 o'clock, you know, something like it's sort of a thing, you know, it's different ideas of punctuality, I guess. Different ways of making plans was something that I sort of learned pretty quickly, that it's more of like the road rules in Bolivia. It's like a guideline. It's a suggestion. You can follow it or you can not follow it. It's up to you.
So I guess you arrived pretty early to the parties at first.
Yeah. Pretty much. I'd be like, okay, you said 8 o'clock, so it's 8 o'clock. I'm here. What's going on? You know,
and it's only you there, not even the host is there yet.
Yeah. But no, look, I mean, I found the people there to be, just really, 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 really kind with me. I was just a random gringo guy, just doing my own thing. And people were really nice to me.
I love the gringo.
Oh, yeah. I was just this random guy and I was walking around and I said all sorts of ridiculous things because my Spanish wasn't good yet. One thing, actually, people are too polite sometimes in Latin America, you know?
Really?
Really?
Too polite with language. You hear stories about people who learn French, yeah?
Yeah.
And people in Paris or whatever, they always, doesn't matter how good your French is, it's still shit to the French.
Yeah.
You know, you'll never be accepted.
I've been there. I've experienced that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the French, and I'm sorry to pick on the French, but that's the stereotype. That's what I've heard. And I think my experience is Latin Americans are almost, they're too quick to accept you because you can say absolute gibberish. You can talk so badly and they'll be like, it's perfect. You are the best Spanish speaker we've ever heard.
Casey, that's very interesting because me and Gabriel, we were discussing I think a few days ago in another episode of our podcast, and that's true because I don't know, we kind of have this habit of treating foreign people and, as you say, gringos especially well. I mean, even better than my own local friends, because I don't know, it makes sense. The guy, the girl is coming from far away, he's coming from abroad, him or her, they don't speak the language properly. So we kind of feel obligated to introduce him or her to our friends to make him feel good in our home country. So it's
a
feature of our culture to try to make our guests feel comfortable, feel welcome, feel warmed at home, which is one thing that we did not feel when we were abroad, me in Canada, me here in the United Kingdom. So I didn't feel this that much. So maybe that's a feature from the South American culture. What do you think about, Gabriel?
Yeah, I kind of agree because we were actually discussing like that one thing that we were expecting when we moved abroad. It's kind of like you feel special, you know, in the other country, like
this special treatment just because you are foreign.
Yeah, but when I got like to in England or here, for example, you don't feel like very special. You're just like one more foreign, you know. But I guess that's because maybe here there are like so many, so it's kind of like, yeah, you're just one more.
Yeah, what do you think about this, Casey? Because the reason me and Gabriel discussed that we didn't receive this special treatment is because, for example, Gabriel is a Brazilian living in Australia. But just like him, you have a Japanese living in Australia, you have an Indonesian living in Australia, you have many other 15 different nationalities living in Australia. So he's just one another foreign people. But in the opposite side, in your case, that you were in Australia living in Colombia, I think they don't have that many people from abroad living there. So that's why you receive such a special treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you agree with
that? Yeah, yeah. I do. It's interesting. I think it's a... I have two things to say about it, I think, just off the top, is that, yeah, I agree with you. And I think I really, really appreciated that. I always felt really welcome, and I was treated... I had so many lovely people who went out of their way. They did not have to be nice to me, and they were so nice to me in Bolivia. In Bolivia especially, also Colombia. Really, really sweet. And I think the fact that I was there and I was interested in their country and I wanted to learn the language, that was, you know, enough. And people were really, really sweet. And I'm sorry it hasn't been reciprocated here. You know,
come on, Casey.
Gabriel was crying about this a few days ago.
Oh, buddy, it's all right. I'll give you a cuddle later, hey?
All right, thanks, man.
I know where you live. I think there's basically, I'm sure there's a sociological term for it, and I don't know because I never studied anything sociological, but there's a lot of bias here. And so I think when you are in another country, sometimes people are very keen to show a really good side of their country. They want people to like their country and they want people to like the people. So they give you a very good experience. And you're right. At times I was aware that I was getting, you know, this sort of treatment. I was getting essentially the benefit of the doubt, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, I got probably better treatment in Colombia than I would have got in my own country in Australia. And it's interesting because that gets reciprocated in that when I'm overseas and when I'm, you know, learning about a country. And so right now we're talking about Latin America, but I think this applies to other countries, right? So if I find...
And would you say it happened the same thing in Canada as well with the Canadians and towards you?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I can't really remember. I think it's different when everyone's
drunk.
When everyone's kind of 21 and drunk, it's hard to remember all the sociological nuance.
Yeah, makes sense.
But I'm sure I had a good time. I can't remember exactly, but I'm sure I was happy. But I think I am now biased towards these countries that I've spent time in, just the way that people were kind of biased towards me. And that sounds like it's sort of unfair.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself more critical of Australia than I am of Colombia, right? And I mean, Colombia gets a bad reputation, right? Because, you know, people talk about cocaine and they talk about insecurity and they talk about all this stuff, which is, you know, which is a part of Colombia, but a very, very small part. Mm-hmm. And but I always feel like I'm Colombia's number one bloody defender because everyone's always like, oh, ha, ha, Pablo Escobar. And I'm like, fantastic, very original. I've never heard that.
So original.
Good for you. I know. Wow. It must have taken you all night to come up with that. I don't think that's limited to Latin America. Like, if I'm going to find myself in the future in Latin America again, or, you know, if I find myself somewhere in Asia or in the subcontinent or whatever, you know, I feel like when you have a good experience like that and when you're understanding and you're invested in a culture and in a people, you get this kind of, you do kind of get this preferential treatment, or I have, but you also reciprocate it in a way that you become much kinder towards that country. Like, I am critical of Australia and I'm complimentary of Colombia. That sometimes does not make sense.
That's amazing.
So Colombia's got its problems.
You would say that makes a cycle, right? So once you're properly treated, like, treated well in a country, you're prone to treat people back well as the same way.
Yeah, I think that's logical.
Yeah.
I think that's logical. And I feel like there's some sort of cultural aspect to it in that you... I think you just give the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about the way people phrase things differently, the way people talk about things differently, they eat differently, they drink differently, they party differently. You automatically kind of give it the benefit of the doubt. You go, oh my God, that's different. That's so much better. You don't automatically go, that's worse. You go, automatically, that's better.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up biased.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a happy way, but a positive way, but you end up biased.
It makes sense. So you think you're totally biased towards Colombia now? I mean, if you were to say, like, describe the country and everything.
Yeah. I feel like if you ask me a question about Colombia and you ask me the same question about Australia, I feel like I will put more positive spin on the Colombian one and I'll be more critical of the Australian one.
Even though you live in Australia from... until you are 18, right? 19, 20 something.
Yeah. And I've been here, I've been back here substantially for, mm-hmm. you know, 3 years now too. So, I mean, Australia is my country. Australia is where I'm from. But I don't know exactly why that is, but I think I'm biased. Yeah, I'm aware that I'm biased.
We can relate with this.
And Casey, and how much has your view changed since you came back from Latin America? I mean, so before you went there, you kind of had like this view of them. And how is it now? I mean, how much has it changed from your perspective?
The funny thing is I didn't actually have a view. So I was, before I went, I mean, okay, like before I went to Canada, like I knew Latin America existed. I knew you guys were over there somewhere.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Brazil, you exist. But I never thought about it. Like, it's just, I mean, it's very disparate, right? It's like you said, when you said I went as far away as I possibly could, I did. We don't have anything in common. Our economies aren't linked. Our culture is completely different. We speak a different language. Our food is different. There's nothing that ties us together. There's nothing that ties as the sport is different, you know?
We are on the same planet. That's the only thing.
Well, yeah, kind of. Like, you're sort of around the other side there. Like, we don't see you very often, but yeah, we know you're there. So I think I had very basic stereotypes and ideas probably, but I was actually really quite a blank slate when I went there. So that might have made it more interesting. And I think I was, you know, I was feeling very positive. It was a very positive, happy time in my life. And I think I probably projected a lot of that. And I came away with a very positive experience. But I did have a good experience. You know, I met fantastic people, lovely people. I had good time. Nothing bad ever happened to me there. You know, I just seemed to stumble from...
Yeah. 2 years?
No, I never got... The most interesting thing that happened to me is that... So I never got robbed. So my girlfriend at the time did a couple of times, which was, you know, which was very upsetting. Nothing ever happened to me. Someone tried to rob me in Rio, but not in Bogota.
What a surprise!
All right, okay. So let's remove this from the episode.
Yeah. Edit that out. But no, I mean, the most interesting thing that happened to me, I mean, you have to be careful. I was careful. I'm not going to say it's exactly the same. I put my wallet in my front pocket.
Okay,
in Bogota.
That's basics.
In Australia, I put it in the back. I don't care. You know, they have the phrase in Colombia, you shouldn't dar papaya. You shouldn't give papaya. You shouldn't, which means, yeah, you have that there, right? You shouldn't make, don't make an invitation.
No, Casey, in Portuguese, não dá mole.
Mole. What's that?
Não dá mole.
Mole.
No, not translate that.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right.
You can go very bad if you try to translate.
It's one of those things. One of those things. Yeah, okay, don't. I'm better off not knowing.
Yeah. But Casey, was there anything in particular, I mean, like those little things, you know, like those small things that you really loved in Colombia and that you don't have here in Australia, in Canberra, for example?
Ooh.
Can you remember of like the little things?
The people.
Oh man, that's actually a massive question. I think what I miss more than anything, and I'm going back to me being biased, actually, I think I've had a lot of time, as you know, we haven't been traveling much, right? I've been reflecting a lot.
Yeah, we both.
yeah, exactly. I think just I miss Colombia because I miss people in Colombia, you know, and I miss people that were really, it just seemed so random that I had met these people, you know, like really, if I'm born in Australia, you're born in Colombia, or you're born in, you know, somewhere so far away, you shouldn't meet, like the
odds are really low.
Yeah, exactly. I have no right to meet this person. So it always felt like an adventure. It's like, how are we even together now? You know, how did we even meet each other?
Bonding.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what I miss the most of anything is simply being in a place. And in this case, it was Colombia. You know, in the future, it might be Colombia again. It might be Mexico. It might be, you know, it might be somewhere in Asia. Who knows, right?
Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. I don't know. Brazil, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Japan. Who knows? I miss being biased. And what I mean by that is I miss this situation where you suddenly open up and you have this positive view and you are giving everything the benefit of the doubt and you are just trying to make everything positive. And for me, that has been my experience when I've been overseas. I think I try harder to have a positive experience overseas than I do in Australia. And that's probably like maybe, you know, a character flaw on my part, but that's the honest truth.
Okay.
So it's kind of like you always see the glass half full.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Yeah. When I'm overseas and it doesn't matter the country, the glass is half full, right? And here it's, you know, it's sometimes it's half full, sometimes it's half empty. but I think that's my
Casey.
That's my takeaway.
So I've got a question for you. So once you are abroad, you already made it very clear that's quite interesting, especially if you're in South America. So you felt that this special, let's say, treatment, people are different, people are the way they relate with each other is quite different. But you already said that's your biased view as well, because you were there for a period. Don't you think that this feeling would fade away if you live a bit longer in that country? So, for example, let's say you said you live there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you live for 3, 5, 6. Don't you think that with time you just get used to it, and then after a while you just be like normal life? You wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be feeling that extra pump of energy anymore. Or you think you would just continue as it is in the beginning, as it was in the beginning?
Yeah, I think of it like any relationship. There's a honeymoon period, right? So you have a first few months when everything is, oh my God, it's so amazing and perfect and beautiful. And then, you know, and then it starts getting a little bit less beautiful,
less
and
exciting.
It's more sort of, yeah, less exciting, more kind of like fighting and more real life sort of stuff, you know, like you say. I think that's definitely true. So it does wear off after a while. And look, I wasn't in Colombia that long. There are a lot of people that, you know, from England or Australia or whatever, that have lived in Colombia for, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. In my experience of only really 2 years, I think it does fade and you do get into a routine and it does become more normalized. But I find that still having ties with someone from a culture that's completely different to your own, I think it strengthens those connections, because it's almost like you've connected with someone on a very human level in spite of massive differences. So the way that you've grown up and the way that you've looked at the world, you know, it's either similar despite being far away, or it's different and you've made friends anyway. So it's different to someone that is exactly the same as you, and it means that those connections are stronger, in my opinion.
Man, that's deep.
Oh.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And I think me and Matheus, we totally like related to it when we went like to Swansea for the first time.
Yeah.
Was quite like a, was, yeah, we talked about that before, me and you, and it was such like an interesting and incredible experience. Mm-hmm. And I think we've changed a lot because of that. Do you think like you came back as like a different person, or like in terms of how you see, how you treat people, how you see the world? And
Yeah. I think, funnily enough, look, I've always tried to be just generally kind to people, you know, like anyone. But I think having seen so much and met so many people that, I almost shouldn't have, you know, because it was so different, you know, it was such a random thing. The world became, it didn't become bigger for me, it actually became smaller, because the more I saw, the more I realized, holy crap, man, if this is just like, this is like a bunch of people in
one
this
country, right?
Well, not even that. It's like, it's a small section of a neighborhood within a district, within a city, within a country. I'm like, how, I mean, it's crazy. And I just, the whole scale of all of this, it actually, the more you see, the smaller it got for me.
I see.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Casey.
Yeah.
Would you say that, so with all of your international experience, living in Canada, living in Colombia, so going back to Australia, would you say that you took some features, some things that you learned and that you observed abroad, and did you take anything back home with you, a different habit or...
Yeah, I think my English got worse.
I don't know. You started treating people differently back home?
Yeah, okay. I think that's a really big question as to did I treat people differently. I don't know. I think probably what I came back with is still treating people more or less the same way, but in consistent with how the world just got smaller and smaller, I feel like I got kind of more curious, right? And so when I met people from other countries, and I made a lot of really, really good, really important friends.
Just like Gabriel.
Just like Gabriel, right? Just like Gabriel. I became even more curious, and I wanted to know more about their lives in their countries, if that makes sense. So, I'm just more alert and more interested, I guess, in where people are from. And I often think, you know, I have a job where I basically look at people's lives. Mm-hmm. People send me their entire life in documents, and I put it together. And I often think, you know, man, I wonder if I had been born in this country, is this what I would be doing? You know, how much would be similar to what I'm doing now and how much would be different? I guess, yeah, just trying to... I'm just curious about lots of places, I think.
I asked this question firstly because I'm Brazilian and now I'm living in the UK, but I've lived in the UK before. And when I came back to Brazil for the first time, you know, people here in the UK, they apologize for every single thing in their life. So if they look at you for more than 1 second, still, I'm sorry. And I think that same applies for Canada because they were colonies of the British Empire, so Australia and Canada, I think that's the same thing. So when I came back from living, come back, when I went back to live in Brazil after living a while in the UK, I took that habit with me to apologize for every single thing, which is completely normal in the United Kingdom. But in Brazil, people started to look at me like, why? Why are you apologizing for doing nothing?
For nothing.
Yeah, for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Canada's famous for that. Canada, yeah. I mean, you see that in movies. Like someone you can... The stereotype is you walk up, you punch someone in the face in Canada. They'll be like, oh, sorry, my head got in the way of your fist. Sorry, eh?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, in case. And do you have like this like habit or like food that you still cook, for example, after coming back from Colombia, or like this little habit that you learned there?
Oh, it's interesting you say that. I actually had kind of, and you know, I think I have this weird thing where I basically, depending on the person, right? Because you miss different people at different times, right? So when I miss someone and I'm thinking about someone a lot, I try and eat food from their country. It's this weird thing that I do. So, you know, if
it's, I would say it's very unique.
Yeah, or maybe I'm just fat, you know? Maybe I'm just becoming like a fat person. I'm thinking like a fat person. But not that there's anything wrong with that. But
yeah,
so, absolutely. I mean, today I had patacones, which is like the it's kind of fried banana thing. So it's a Colombian meal. Look, I've got a very, very good friend in Pakistan, and sometimes when I miss her, I you know, I make a point. I'm like, okay, I've got to eat a biryani or something. You know, I've got to eat something from there. Or if I miss someone from another country, I look for some food that's from that country. So I guess that's probably the main sort of weird thing.
That's very, very interesting. I've never heard anything not even close to this.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Look, I think, I'm not sure if I'm normal, and I'm not sure if that's like, oh my God, he's unique, or, oh man, this guy's a freak, you know? But like,
when I miss people, I just call them or look at photos, pictures or anything.
Oh, look, I call them. I do that too. Of course I do that, you know, but, no, it's not a conscious thing. Sometimes I will be basically, I'll be like, oh man, I really want to eat, you know, this food. And then I think I'm doing that subconsciously because I'm missing that person. And it's my stupid coronavirus isolation way of being closer to them.
Okay, that's a point. So just after cooking, you realize that you're doing that because you're missing that specific person from that specific country, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I think, look, I'm only just thinking about this now. I only just realized that I do this, but I think I do. And it's sort of semi-conscious, and I think you're thinking about the person, and obviously nationality is a big part of your identity, right? And maybe that just starts your brain thinking along those lines. I'm not sure exactly where it starts and where it ends and how conscious it is. It just kind of happens.
Man, you should write a book about this. It's interesting.
I wonder if that's a thing. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm very strange. I'm a very strange person, but that's all right.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
And Casey, any plans to get back there in Colombia or?
Look, it's an excellent question. I think it's going to depend on a lot of things. Obviously, right now.
I mean, when you are able to.
It's going to be very hard to get anywhere. Look, it's complicated. There are people that I really want to see in lots of different parts of the world. Of course, there are people I really, really want to see in Colombia, so I would like to go back there, definitely, no question. I'd also like to go visit, I really want to visit some people in Pakistan. I want to visit some people in Europe. Colombia is a big one. Brazil. Yeah, I want to go to, what's that fish thing you made for me, man? The Bahia.
Say it again?
Bahia. There's like a fish soup. Baja? Bahia? Baja? The state?
Is it
Baja?
A beach?
Baja?
No, Belo Horizonte?
Belo Horizonte? No. Remember the food that Kido cooked?
Ah, Bahia. Bahia.
That like... Bahia.
Yeah, that's a state in Brazil. It's
Bahia.
Really nice.
Yeah. I'll go to Bahia, maybe. Yeah, look, I mean, I miss people and depending on the person, I will go to that place, right? You know?
Okay, but if you're talking about living like abroad, long term, not just visiting, would you consider living abroad again, leaving your home country, leaving your culture behind?
Oh, I think I definitely will. I think I actively plan to. I hope my work isn't listening to this. but no, I definitely want to. Because I understand that it is a flawed process and it's not really fair, but the reality is, black and white, I enjoy myself more overseas because I'm glass half full. I'm biased. I can't help it. I have a better time. I don't know. I just think I enjoy life more, at least now in my late 20s. You know, while I'm still young-ish, I think definitely I'll be overseas. Absolutely. I mean, I'm an English teacher, man. Like, I can go wherever I want, sort of.
Yes, yes, I see. That's so complex and interesting at the same time, Casey, because you're talking about living abroad. That means leaving your country behind, leaving your culture, your relatives, your friends, your culture, your mother language. So that means quite a lot, isn't it? It's like quite a big deal.
It's just my experience that I basically, it's a little bit like, this is probably a terrible metaphor, but maybe it's a little bit like being on drugs, you know? Everything's just a little bit better, you know? And everything's just a little bit more interesting and you just feel a little bit more positive. Not that I do drugs, but, you know, this is what people say, right? So that's probably the really basic way that I can explain it.
I really hope your work isn't listening to this.
I said I don't do drugs, man. Come on. Help me out here. Help me out.
I'm joking with you. Yeah. But I understand that. Like this, the glass is always like half full, especially when you know your time is limited abroad. You kind of like want to enjoy everything and you want to do everything that you can. So every weekend counts, every day counts. Like every time you go to the to the supermarket to buy rice or to buy whatever you want, it's an adventure, you know, because it's a different language. You see like different people.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, it's, I tell people like everyone should have like,
it
should be able to have like this experience and should afford these, I mean. Because it changed our life, I guess, like living abroad.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And it's a massive privilege. It's a massive, massive privilege. So the fact that we can, you know, the fact that it's even an option for us is really amazing. And I think we should, you know, we should try and be really, really grateful for it. But I think it's almost like at times, it's like you're supposed to be in jail or something and you get off, right? So then, or you're not even supposed to be there. The people you meet, you're not even supposed to meet them. The things you do, you're not even supposed to see. It's so unnatural that you just plop yourself into a completely foreign place. So you do, you make the most of it.
Final considerations, conclusions, outcome for anyone in a similar situation as yours, which is considering exploring the world, what would you say?
I would say just be like a Nike running shoe and just do it and follow your heart.
Not sponsored.
No plug. I'll have $500, please. Thank you. No, just do it. And if you're traveling with friends or you're doing something, do your own thing. If your friend wants to do something and you want to do something else, go alone. Do your own thing. Do your own adventure, whatever that is, whatever your vision is. It doesn't matter how stupid it is. Just do your thing. Don't go along with someone else's trip. Do your own trip. You make your own friends as you go.
So would you say, to end this all, would you say that living abroad in your experience was a positive or a negative experience?
Oh, it was terrible. No, I'm joking. It was fantastic. And I hope it will continue to be once the pandemic is over.
Very good. All right, Casey.
Amazing. Gabriel, do you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. Living abroad is something that everyone should have the opportunity to do. And Casey, do you have any shout-outs?
No, man. Yeah, I do. But like, if I do some
to your Colombian friends or your Latin American friends.
No, look. Yeah, sure. No, look, I mean, I think a shout out, I'm not going to say a shout out to anyone specifically, because I think there are lots of people that I've probably, they've realized I'm talking about them when I've been talking, and there are just so many people, and I would hate to forget anyone. So just to anyone that I've come across and anyone that I've, you know, yeah.
Fair enough.
Diplomatic.
That's fair. Fair play.
All right, cool.
Okay, so Casey, we are extremely grateful to have you here in this show. Thank you very much for invest in your time to share your experiences, your Australian experiences, to me, Gabriel, and the entire planet. It's been a great pleasure.
Yeah, it's right, been Gabriel? Great. Thanks a lot, Casey. And I hope maybe to see you in a future episode.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. It was really, really fun. It felt like 20 minutes. It's been much longer. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, so maybe we should schedule part 2 of the show, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, everyone. So I think that's it for today, right, Gabriel?
Yeah, that's it, guys. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Perspectiva Tupiniquim. And if you have any suggestions, comments, just send us a message there. And yeah, that's it. I hope to see you in the next episode.
Perspectiva Tupiniquim.
All right, Casey. Last time challenge.
Perspectiva. Eu tenho uma coisa. Eu tenho perspectiva Tupiniquim.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good, Casey.
Nailed it.
All right, guys. So with these final words, we say goodbye to you. And I see you next time.
See ya.
See you guys. Thanks.